again, church family. I'm so happy to be here. Hi, Jackie. You thought you snuck in, but Adam saw you. He pointed you out. I don't know how long you're here for, but I want to get together with you and say hi. All right, good. Everybody say hi to Jackie. It's always nice when people who live far away that are still a dear part of our church family come back and see us, and we're just always happy to see her. And I'm happy to see all of you today. What a blessing it has been. Hi. Happy to see you too. The praise music this morning was just amazing. I love Shout to the North, and it goes so well with talking about sharing our faith. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we come to you today with open hearts, wanting you to fill us with your presence. Guide my words today that we may understand better how to share our love for you. Amen. Now, you may have noticed that I've been sitting a lot to preach, and I want you to know there's a very deep theological reason for it. The mic that we use doesn't have a clip on the back, and I don't have pockets when I dress up for church. So I need my hands to look at the Bible and my notes, and I can't hold a microphone at the same time, so I have to set it down. Therefore, I sit. So thank you for humoring me and how much I've been sitting while I've been preaching this series. We really need to find a clip for the back of this, and it would be very helpful. They don't think, you know, guys have pockets in the front of their suits or whatever. They don't really make room for pockets in what women wear to church. Alexis has a pocket in her dress. There you go. Practical clothing. I need to find it. What an amazing church we're a part of. Now, of course, I definitely include our local Corona church family in that statement. But I'm also talking about our church as a whole, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. Recently, we had a GC session that voted a lot of new changes for our church and kept keeping some old. And people from all over the world came for this. Every now and then, they do statistics and how many people are in our church and what union or division they're from. And I want to just take a look really fast. Let's see if this works. Hey, look at that. Always nice when technology works. You can see the numbers there, and that's fine, but I don't really want to focus on the numbers for the statistics. Look at all the different places we have churches, and those are the unions. All over the world, we have churches. And what that means to me is that I can go anywhere in the world, and I have traveled a lot, and our mission team learned this. You can go all over the world and meet with people who worship in similar ways, who believe in Jesus like we do, and we can share our faith with people and share our growth with people who are just like us, no matter where you go in the world. It is such a blessing. Have you ever traveled to a completely new place and ran into somebody who either you knew or knew someone you knew or your grandma knew? Raise your hand. Don't you love that? I love our world church family. It is such a blessing to be a part of this church family. In Western countries, our church family isn't growing. In Western countries, our church family is in some ways shrinking because our young people are leaving. That is what this sermon series has been about. It's about understanding the culture and the people in today's culture and how we can communicate our wonderful church message with people in today's culture. We have to understand the culture we're speaking to. In my first sermon in this series, we talked about the terms modernism and postmodernism. You have a handout in your bulletin that kind of outlines the key aspects and what that means, and that can be helpful, a helpful guide to you, because the term postmodernism, I know, can seem a little overwhelming, and it's confusing. So go ahead and refer to that. If you missed the series, it is available online, but this will just give you a little bit of a guiding point for understanding the people in today's culture. After I talked about today's culture, we've gone through a few different methods of recognizing that not everybody's at the same place on their journey towards Jesus. Some people have been hurt by Christians or have seen things that Christians have done and have come to the point where they have no trust for Christians or Adventists at all. And we have to work on just the basic level of developing trust. And then there is the opposite end, almost the opposite end, of people who have been studying and searching for a long time but really need to be encouraged to make the decision for Jesus. And recognizing where somebody's at and understanding how to work with them where they're at. That's what the other series is, the sermons in the series were about. And then Pastor Gary did a wonderful sermon on how Jesus used many of these methods in his own style of reaching people. If you're visiting with us today, or you're here and you haven't made a commitment either to Jesus or to the Adventist Church, I have a side note for you. This is an Adventist church, if you didn't know that. Look around. These are Adventists. You've set foot in an Adventist church. What that means is that most of the people who are here have committed their lives to Jesus through this denomination because we have felt enriched by the Jesus that we have found here and the message that we have heard here. It has made our lives deeply better. And it is because our lives are so enriched by this faith that we want to learn how to share it with others. It's not about increasing the numbers on our books, but it's about learning how to share what we love with others. So when there's some inside talk going on about how to share our faith, it's not because we want to force people to believe as we do and that we want to force what we think on you, but instead we want to learn better how to share our passion in a way that makes sense to people today. So have patience with us, and I hope that you can learn maybe a little more. And if you find some interest in what I'm talking about, please come talk to us, to just about anybody here, about why they have passion, and I'm sure they'd love to share it with you. And feel free to talk to the pastoral staff or any of our elders if you would like to even learn more. So now that we have studied a little bit about who people are in today's culture, the question comes up, what now? And when I thought about that, I thought about where the disciples were after being trained by Jesus for about 3 years. Sorry, it's always distracting when your baby's the one that's crying. They'd studied with Jesus for about 3 years. He had died, he'd been resurrected, and he was leaving them. And they had this question of, what now? What do we do now? And Jesus' answer for what now comes in the form of what we call the Great Commission. And that was our scripture reading for today, and you can open up your Bibles to Matthew 28 or follow along on the screen. I'm going to read it again. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the message that Jesus gave the disciples for reaching the people. And I figure if we're going to try and learn how, the best we can do is look to how Jesus did it. So Jesus started with, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." It has to start with a passion for the one in authority. Jesus started with the one in authority, is the one in authority. We have to start our lives with a passion for Jesus. Have an active, daily, devoted, personal relationship with Jesus. See, ministry to secular people is hazardous to your spiritual health. When spending time with people who don't know Jesus, this can be dangerous for your own relationship with Jesus if your relationship with Jesus isn't active and committed every single day. The other reason it's important is because today's culture craves authenticity and they can spot a fake a mile away. So if what we're preaching to others doesn't mean a thing to ourselves and they can see that, then they're going to be turned off from our church. Your relationship has to be personal and real and active and daily in order for it to mean anything to the culture today. A personal relationship is incredibly important. So is the support of a community. Jesus didn't leave the disciples alone. He left them in the community of the other disciples to support, to pray together, to praise together, to lean on each other. As they were going out and working with people, they'd come back together to be refreshed. So spend time in this community. When you go out and spend time on your own, don't forget to come back and worship and join in the community of faith as well. Jesus' next instruction is, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." My temptation here was to say, okay, now that we've established the relationship with Jesus, we go make disciples. But that's not true. There is no such thing as an established relationship with Jesus. Once we think it's established, it'll get neglected and it'll fade away. It is a daily decision. Baptism is wonderful, but that's just one step in a continual daily decision towards continually coming closer to Jesus. So not one now that we've established, but as we live in relationship with God. The original translation should, the more correct translation of this would actually be, in your going, make disciples, as you're going. That's the more correct translation of this word for go. So as you live in relationship with God, make disciples. What does that mean? How do we do that? How do we go about making disciples? Pastor Gary used a quote that I'm going to use as well from the Ministry of Healing. Ellen White tells us, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them, follow me. Christ met people where they were, saw their needs, spoke with them about the life as they had it, and then led them on a path towards him. He mingled, he desired their good, and then he bade them follow me. Our passion for Jesus must be communicated to people in their world, in their understanding today. We need to do this by developing purposeful relationships. Now, what do I mean by purposeful relationships? I've seen two extremes in this. One is the extreme of the person who is determined to make people believe for the sake of making them believe. And they're going to go out and make converts, and they want to get more numbers on the books or more stars in their crown in heaven or just save their soul. And this is their concern. And many times people like this build walls with the secular world, with those in the secular world, because they sense that they don't care about them personally. The other extreme is the person who is either so afraid of becoming like the first example, or they're so hesitant to push somebody away from Christ that they never share their faith and they never talk about what they're passionate about and what their belief is. There is a third example. When you think about passion in your life, what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about your kids? Do you like to share whenever they've, you know, gotten a good grade in school or done something new? I know I'm passionate about mine. I know I talk about them a lot. Are you passionate about sports? Are you passionate about politics? When you share this passion, you're not out just to make someone believe, but you can't help but share your excitement about what's happening in your life with these things. It just pours out of you. And it's not because you want to force it on someone else, but because you want to share the joy with people that you care about. This is what our passion for Jesus should be. Something that is so much a part of our life that we can't help but want to share it with others. That is the third way. It takes effort to go and make these relationships, to develop secular relationships, to go and make disciples, takes effort. I was raised in the Adventist church. And what that means is I was born in it. I'm from generations of Adventists. I've attended Adventist churches and Adventist schools and visited Adventist institutions all over the world. And you know what? I love it. I'm comfortable in Adventism. I like going to an Adventist church potluck and knowing that I can eat whatever's on the table without thinking twice about it. I like going to Adventist parties and not worrying about what's in the punch. I like hanging out with people on Sabbath who see and feel the same about Sabbath and the refreshment of the day as I do, and I don't have to stress about what's going to happen. I am comfortable around Adventists. God never said working for him would be comfortable. We have to make effort and go out of our comfort zone and spend time with secular people who don't see and think and feel the same way as we do. We need to enter into their daily lives and allow them to enter into ours. Share in their joys. If you think about it, we need to hang out where they hang out after work. We need to go to their kids' birthday parties and invite their kids to our kids' birthday parties. Spend time where they are. I want to add a quick word of caution. You know your own tendencies and your own weaknesses. If you are tempted towards drinking, if you're tempted towards things that you know aren't healthy for you, don't spend time doing those things with secular people. Don't put yourself at risk, but find where you're strong in and be willing to make yourself uncomfortable without putting yourself at risk. But share your life with people. If you look what Jesus did in the Gospels, he did this over and over. He was so often found at people's dinners and parties and was accused of hanging around with tax collectors and sinners by the religious people of the day. But when I looked at this, here's what struck me. Jesus was comfortable in those situations. He was so rooted in his relationship with God that he wasn't uncomfortable. The disciples were, and the religious people were uncomfortable, but Jesus wasn't. The closer we draw to God, the more comfortable we will be no matter what our situation, because we know it is where God is calling us. Jesus was misunderstood in those and criticized for it, and you will be too. Stay rooted in your strength and your relationship with God daily, and be willing to put yourself more and more into those situations, and so you can find comfort in God in those. We have to communicate our passion for Jesus to people today in a way that they understand. The next thing Jesus tells us in the Great Commission is teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching is a gift of the Adventist Church. And we have a gift to give today's culture. When I look around, I see a culture that is very, very busy. People that are absolutely exhausted and in desperate need of a Sabbath rest. I see a culture that struggles with health and obesity like never before and could desperately use a message that God cares about their entire body and that there's ways of being healthy that are even outlined in the Bible. And I see people that are hopeless about the economy and the future and their own personal finances, and they need to be given a hope in a God that has a plan for their future. We have a beautiful message to give to the culture today. The way we give that message matters. It is only useful to today's culture if it makes sense to the people today. And in order for it to make sense, we can't just have it be about truth and what you know in your head. That's not meaningful today. It can be absolutely true, and it is absolutely true. But that doesn't mean anything to somebody today. What is meaningful is how has it made your life better? It's meaningful in the story of your personal life. So you need to think about your own life and say, how has my belief affected my day-to-day life in a way that has made it more fulfilling and more peaceful and more beautiful that I can share with others? And then it can only be shared in true relationship, in real, honest friendship with people in today's world. Your own personal story shared in relationship with others is the only way we're going to make a difference in our culture, with the people that live in today's world. The language we use matters as well. Like I said, when we say something is true or not true, that literally means almost nothing in today's world. It's not useful to use this. We have to think about the language we use because our message is very needed. I heard a wonderful sermon, best sermon I've ever heard on the need for Sabbath, from a Sunday preacher. And she shared her struggle and her journey to find Sabbath and how hard it was for her to find this in her life and how the joy she found when she finally made room for a Sabbath in her life. And never once in her whole sermon did she say, I found this amazing group of Christian worshipers that have grasped this concept of Sabbath. I don't even know that she knows what Adventists are because we haven't been out sharing the beauty of Sabbath with people, the beauty that it's meant for our personal life. People are getting health messages from magazines and talk shows, and it's an empty message because it doesn't talk about the beauty of a God that cares about your whole body, not just your eternal soul, as so many evangelistic churches preach. We have a God that in our denomination, we see a God that cares about our entire body, and we have a beautiful message, but it's only meaningful if it means something to you, and you can share that story in honest friendship with others. Are we willing to share our unique beliefs to a culture that desperately needs it in a way that makes sense to them? Are you willing to go out of your comfort zone and share these and share your passion for Jesus in a way that makes sense to people today? The last thing Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Always back to Christ. Always back to Christ in your life. That is the purpose in everything. If you don't have time for Jesus in your life, you don't have time to reach others for him either. I've been reading lately the book Everlasting Gospel, Ever-Changing World by John Pauline, and in it he says you can't add anything to your life without taking something else away. We try to make our lives busier and busier by adding and adding and adding things, thinking we can do it all, and we can't, and something always drops off, whether we know it or not. So in the book, Pauline advises. He says, when somebody asks him to do something new, he always asks, what activity, if I take this on, what activity will this replace? And is what I'm accepting more important than what it's going to replace? So I want you to look at your life today and say, am I willing to make room for more time with Jesus and more time building relationships? And what in my life is less important that I'm willing to replace? Because if you're not willing to replace it and take time for Jesus, then you're not ready to reach today's culture for Jesus either. What's your passion? Is this a priority for you? Do you want to share your passionate love for Jesus in a way that is meaningful to people today? Is this something that matters to you? As we pray, I want you to think about that. Think about what's meaningful to you. And if you're willing to make room in your life to share your passion with Jesus in the culture and the people around us today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, you have a great love for every person in this world, including those in our Western culture that are showing us so many challenges for our faith. Maybe it's time that we're challenged. Maybe it's time that we're woken up and realized that this needs to be real in our lives in order for it to be real in others, and that we have to be out mingling and making friends. Live through each person here that they can know that you love them dearly and that you can share your love with others through them. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.